This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, our disappearing co-host, J. Randall Murphy, is back. No, every so often, Mark Jackson will be guest co-host of the Paracast, as he was last week, where we had Brooks Agnew. And he, of course, is a scientist who takes a serious interest and has some serious information and theories to offer about the hollow earth theory. Now, Randall joined us when we did our After the Paracast segment. That was so fascinating. I wanted to hear more, but we had to stop it. It was one of our longest After the Paracast segments ever. And you get that with the Paracast Plus, in case your listeners want to know. What's your perception so far, Randall, of the hollow earth theory?
Wow, that episode was really in depth in terms of the understanding needed to be able to determine whether or not the ideas he was presenting were legitimate in a scientific sense. And he did mention that it's very controversial, quite a bit of his stuff. But when you got to looking into some of the things he was talking about, although I was very skeptical to begin with, you know, you can't just write things off. So I went to look it up, like the EM drive, for example, that he was talking about. It's a real thing. Apparently it really works. Yes, it does seem to defy the laws of physics. And so no wonder people were skeptical, but it's one of these mysteries in physics right now as to how the thing works. Now, the hollow earth is a little bit different. I would say that there isn't sufficient scientific evidence to justify the idea that the earth is hollow. Like I was saying on the show, it was supposedly proven back in the late 1700s that the hollow earth theory, which was before that considered to be something possible, simply couldn't be the case because of the relative density of the earth. In other words, I really don't think that we're dealing with an area above the earth's core where the outer core is right now that produces the Earth's magnetic field. I just can't see how that could in any way be some large void area inside of which some civilization could exist. This is just way too out there and contradicts way too much scientific evidence. But he wants to get a ship and go up there and look. And, you know, that's the spirit of adventure and real life investigation. So if he can do it and make it work, and I'm sure it would be really interesting, and it'd be great to have him back on to talk about it.
If he ever gets that voyage going. Of course, I always had this theory that if there's no physical hollow earth, there is a hollow earth, but you cross a dimensional portal to get there.
Oh, right. The whole idea that Earth has a spiritual component and that the two were separating, and that, to me, really gets into some, really controversial philosophy, to put it that way. Like, we'd have to assume that planetary bodies, like other planets, are conscious, and then we get into the whole Gaia belief system where some people do believe the Earth is a conscious entity in and of itself. Personally, I don't subscribe to that theory. I think we need something that is organized in a very specific and complex way, like a brain, in order to have consciousness emerge. It just doesn't emerge out of inanimate objects. And that's my position. But who knows for sure? I mean, consciousness is still a mystery. So maybe there is something to it. It's just that the context in which it's presented doesn't seem to be very coherent.
Of course, you posit a logical universe. If the universe isn't logical, all bets are off. Let's talk to our guest, Greg Lawson. He's the paranormal detective. Greg, have you ever looked into hollow earth lore?
I've read about Hollow Earth lore, but I haven't really studied it per se.
So does it sound wacky to you also, or what?
Well, you know,
don't hold back.
No, okay. So the funny thing is obviously the way that rock and things form, they form pockets of air or empty spaces, or there's chemicals that are there that eat away at the rock and turn it into crystals. And there's all kinds of things that are going on geologically underneath us. The whole idea that, let's say the Earth is like a Dyson sphere or an outer shell, and that there's something on the inside providing some sort of energy to beings on the inside of the Earth. One of the things that you'd have to overcome is the whole issue of volcanoes on the surface of the Earth, and you know, how would that be managed between this, what would be a thin core or not even a core, I'm sorry, you know, some sort of shell. But, you know, I really enjoy reading about such things in literature, let's put it that way.
So, Greg, tell us how one becomes a paranormal detective.
Well, I've been working with a lot of different paranormal groups, and a few years ago, I wrote a book called Zombie Advocacy. Just by the title, you realize it only sold a couple of copies because nobody wants to advocate for zombies. They want to shoot them in the head. That's the common. So all my life, I have gravitated to the unusual or the scary. I like good horror movies or, you know, not the hack and slash stuff, but the stuff that makes you think. My brother used to take me out on his motorcycle. He was 12 years older than I. And when I was 5, he was 17, and he would take me out on his motorcycle, and we would go around to graveyards in Central Texas, and we'd get off the motorcycle and walk around, and what he would do is he would try to find a kid that's younger than I was, and then he'd make up a story to scare me, and then we'd just kind of walk around and explore the graveyards. And that's kind of what I did through elementary, junior high, and high school. And when I went in the military and traveled overseas, I gravitated to just unusual places. And I like to do research on that. I think the first book I ever had to do a book report on was, I think I was in like fifth or sixth grade, and I picked out In Search for Atlantis. So it's been something kind of ingrained in me or developed in me from a really young age to ask questions and go look for strange things.
It was your brother's fault. Actually, it's my brother's.
Yeah.
I had a brother 11 years older, and he used to play. This was the days of old-time radio when I was very young. He would find the most frightening shows to play for me. He'd also play The Shadow, which was not frightening.
Oh, but, yeah.
Right. Who knows? What do you? No, don't want to do that because I can do The Shadow laugh, too, but I don't want to do that because our listeners will tune out. But he got me interested. In fact, I got interested in UFOs because he left a flying saucer book on his coffee table when he was at work. And my mom and I had visited his apartment. And he was apparently late coming home that evening. And so his wife said, why don't you take the book home and read it? Because she saw I was interested. It was a library book. I had to return it. That was my obligation. But I was hooked. So, you know, we have these older brothers who have much younger siblings, and they try to, you know, corrupt them or get them into trouble.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, interestingly, that's how I got into it as well. My older brother, too. Him and his girlfriend at the time when I was around about 6 years old, something like that, they had a sighting here in Calgary and came back and they were talking about it. Well, my dad, he was a geologist, so he was from Kansas, so you can imagine sort of his reaction. But the sighting did end up in the newspaper because apparently there were some other people who saw it as well from a different vantage point. And it was quite an interesting story, and I believed him and his girlfriend, and I believed that other people had seen it too. And it got me to thinking, well, how could such a thing be possible? And I remember thinking, you know, the only way that these things could move the way they do, it's got to be some kind of anti-gravity. And this is me at 6 years old. So you can imagine where it's gone from there.
Well, you'll never reach seven if we don't do this break. I'm serious.
No, I'm not. Okay, we've got Greg and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact, and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of Slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Our special guest is Greg Lawson. He is the paranormal detective, and he's explaining how his brother, as brothers are wont to do, corrupted him and changed his entire life. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he pretty much pointed me in a strange direction. And, you know, after being in the military and then getting out and becoming a cop and then going back in the military and then getting out and becoming a cop and then going back in the military and getting out and being a cop, I got a really broad view of different cultures and different places and different beliefs, along with my investigative side of being a regular criminal, homicide, child abuse, you know, all that stuff, detective. And I now I work for an agency in Texas, and I am a aquatic death investigations sergeant for. I have a lake patrol and an underwater recovery team, so that's what I specialize in now. So I'm still looking for things, and so I kind of tell people, yeah, I look for dead people for a living, and I look for dead people when I'm off as a hobby.
You know what's interesting here? If he says, as they did in the movie The Sixth Sense, I see dead people, it's true. But seriously speaking here, you got this interest, you went into the military, you were a military cop or what, before you became a civilian cop?
No, I never intended to be a cop. I was supposed to be an artist. My whole family kind of has an artsy vibe to them, I guess. And so I had gotten laid off from my job, and it was a bad time in the early 80s. And so I didn't have any other training or anything like that. And my father had been in the Army, and my brother had been in the Navy. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and bounce and go do the Army thing for a while. And so I was an infantry parachutist with 82nd Airborne Division. And then so I got to do a lot of traveling there. I spent about 6 months over in the Middle East, and I spent a couple of years up in Alaska, a couple of winters up in Alaska, and then into Central America. So I got a lot of travel while I was there. And then when I got out, I was going to go to school for art. And I didn't like being poor, so my sister said, hey, get a job over at the sheriff's office. They're hiring. And the rest is history now. I'm one of those reluctant cops.
Well, being an officer of the law, I imagine you've heard a lot of stories and a lot of explanations from people for why things happen and the things that they say and do. So you, I would assume, have a pretty good sense about whether or not somebody who's had one of these paranormal experiences is pulling your leg or not.
Well, and that's one of those things that I think you develop over time when you're an investigator. People use the word skeptic as something that it's bad, and it's not. Skepticism is what you have to have as an investigator. You can't just go in with true believer syndrome. Yes, that's a ghost. That's a demon. That's a, you know, whatever it is. Or you can't also just shut it all off and say, no, none of that's true. Nothing happens. This is a complete accident. We're going to live and die. This planet will die. There's nothing more to it. I don't subscribe to either one of those. I think it's someplace in the middle. I think it's something maybe we're not meant to understand. But as an investigator, I was assigned as a mental health investigator for a couple of years, and that's a critical incident team member. So a lot of agencies have different ways of setting things up, but we would get called out on when somebody is having a psychotic episode, or they're barricaded, or a hostage situation. We're the negotiators that go out and work through that, and then also recognize mental illness, and we can take them to a facility to get them evaluated and get them some help. During those years of doing that, I would say over 100 people that claimed abduction, UFO abduction. And so talking with them, you know, there's always a kind of a constant theme, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of these experiences, they rely on inductive reasoning. Something's happened to them and they make up a reason why it happened. They don't do deductive reasoning as in having some evidence and then saying, well, this is what happened. They kind of do it in reverse. So that's one of those things that when you're investigating or you're talking to people, credibility is a huge deal. But that doesn't mean that if somebody is, let's say, a diagnosed schizophrenic, that they did not have this experience just because they're a schizophrenic. It could be completely medical and a delusion, or it could be something else. So as a good investigator, you have to take in all that information and consider, you know, what the reality really is.
Absolutely. I mean, inductive reasoning can be useful if we don't have verifiable, scientifically valid material evidence.
Right. But you have to come up with some sort of hypothesis of what it could be.
Right. And it could be wrong. We have to accept that, well, it seems to fit this particular idea pretty good. So maybe, you know, it might be right, but we can't just assume that it is right.
Right. Yep, I agree. It's just how you apply it. And I'll use the inductive reasoning thing of, let's say you get I have a lot of people, and I always make a joke about it. I'm like, oh my God, they want me to look at their orb pictures again. You know, they got their phone up. Like, I want you to show you this picture, and there's an orb. You know, and they said, you know, that's grandma, or that's a, you know, some sort of spirit or a demon or something like that. And there's no evidence whatsoever, nothing to support the fact that this orb is a demon, other than inductive reasoning. They are making up a reason why that orb might be there and ignoring digital artifacts that happen in a digital media, in a camera. That doesn't happen in an analog camera. If you're taking regular film, you're not going to have those kind of artifacts in there. So, and that is a hypothesis. You could say, I think that might be a demon. It might be. But, you know, the evidence would say probably not. I can recreate that fairly easily.
Yeah.
And so,
people have done it. Okay, you know, this is a photographic artifact from a digital camera. But, you know, this is really interesting. And just before we get into it a little bit more, I wanted to ask you, in terms of the paranormal, you mentioned Atlantis, we've got afterlives, there's cryptozoology, there's psychic phenomena. What's your main focus in the realm of the paranormal?
Our main focus is to get past this announcement. Okay. Got to do that sort of stuff, and then we'll get back and listen to more of this. But first, let me tell you that Greg has also agreed to join us on After the Paracast. After the Paracast is only available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. For more details, go ahead and take a visit to plus.theparacast.com. With Greg, Randall, and Gene, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The National Weather Service in New Orleans is warning of life-threatening flash flooding Sunday as heavy rains pound Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. Areas can expect between 2 to 4 inches of rain, and some parts locally could see up to 6 inches of rain. National Weather Service meteorologist Charles Ressler with some reminders.
Don't drive through high water. It's very difficult to
determine the depth of the water at night, and so just exercise some common sense.
Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan was in McAllen, Texas on Saturday, and he says he intends to accelerate the plan to secure the border without the Pentagon's continuous help. Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council, says the only reason the Pentagon has to step in is because
Congress isn't doing their job. The president is left to use his authorities to actually look at ways that he can solve a crisis.
Judd was speaking on Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, and I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for mom, and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Randall asked the question of Greg Lawson, our guest this week. What is your response?
So my main focus in what I do is investigations. So it doesn't matter whether you're investigating insurance fraud or whether you're investigating a homicide involving, you know, an arson. You still have to follow the same procedures. So I have a background. I was raised Catholic, so I have this spiritual or religious background that, you know, formed the way I think things could be. So that brings me to the paranormal. Obviously, there's a lot of beliefs in the Catholic system that you would say, wow, that's paranormal. That's a paranormal activity there. So I'm interested in that. So I kind of help people refine their investigative processes to point them in a better direction and try to get, you know, industry standard and, you know, just not make it up as you go. An ad hoc investigator just kind of goes out there and stumbles around in the dark with some night vision gear and you know, gets scared of noises and things like that, which is really entertaining in TV, I guess. But that's not really good investigative work. And most of the investigative work that's going on out there, if there was a court that was being held and you would need to give testimony and evidence in that court to receive an indictment that this event occurred, they wouldn't meet up to it, because once you get in there, they're going to have to strip away all these unproven detection methods and stuff like that. So I stick specifically with things in the physical, not the metaphysical, although I have a strong belief in the metaphysical. I think there's a lot of things that we're just not meant to know, and it's being hidden from us.
Okay. Maybe we could get a little more specific there. We have different fields of interest in. So, for example, I'm a ufologist, and I see a lot of other paranormal subject matter as being tangential to that. Other people investigate Bigfoot. Other people are more into psychic phenomena and that sort of thing. So do you have a particular area that you like to specialize in?
So I do a lot of talks around the United States, and a lot of time they asked me to do a Roswell talk. For about 12 years, I went to Roswell every year for the UFO conference. I know quite a few of the investigators up there. I've worked with a couple of the investigators up there. I believe that collaboratively, all of them have covered it, about as much as you can cover without popping a spaceship out of a warehouse or something. And so I have a very strong background in Roswell. Like I said, I've been touted as a ufologist, but I'm not really. I know, you know, I've been to Rendlesham Forest. I've been to some of the locations in Michigan and stuff where things have been seen. But my real, I would say, if I have an expertise in UFO information or abduction information, it comes from people I've talked to that have claimed abduction experiences, the Roswell incident, and I was a operations specialist when I was in the Navy. So it's one of the few jobs in the Navy where you don't actually fix something. Most everything in the Navy, you're some sort of technician because you're out at sea and you have to fix stuff when it breaks. And so as an operations specialist, we focus in on more of detection and interpretation and then dissemination of what we found, what we saw. So, I've been to a couple of schools where, things happen at those schools that didn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, radar contacts that travel way faster than they should be traveling and change direction and speed, especially if they're outside of the, outside of the envelope. If we're looking at, let's say, Space Command watching outside of what we would be doing as far as ballistic missile protection on the Earth, if we're looking outside, normally a space body is not going to change speed and it's not going to change direction. So I have those experiences of seeing that, and you know, of course.
Oh, wait a minute here. You said you've seen that or just read about it and researched it?
Oh, no. I've seen that on scopes on particular, monitors that, so that's another thing. It gets very complicated when you're.
Okay. Let's get into that. Like, yeah. What kind of monitors are you talking about?
Well, I'm trying to work this out in my head on how I'm going to break this down. So you have a sensor of some type, and it's picking up magnetic energy, right? It's picking up EMF, or it's looking for infrared or ultraviolet. It's looking for different things, right?
Yeah. Are you talking about equipment that's aboard
yes,
a ship,
yeah,
or something like that?
It
or just something you carry with you, like portable stuff?
No, none of this is portable. This is all, in-facility facility
okay.
structure.
So which facilities are you talking about where you were observing this?
Well, I'm not comfortable with that because I'm not quite sure what's declassed and what's not.
So you're actually talking about something military then?
Yeah, this is 1992 to 94. I'm sure a lot of it's declassed, but I'm
okay. Just, we don't have to go into specifics if you're uncomfortable, but just to give our listeners a general idea, because, otherwise if we had just skipped past that, I think that's a really important, feature. So, you know, without being too specific, you were, privy to, high-tech military monitoring situations where you were observing what sounds like craft in either orbit or outside our atmosphere. Right. Or even in our atmosphere, possibly.
Not these particular ones. It would be outside of our atmosphere.
But so satellite type.
Right.
Okay.
What I would, as far as an operations specialist, we operate on, or when I was in, we used a system called JOTS. It's a Joint Operation Tasks, Joint Operation Tactical Systems, and I forget what the other acronym is, but anyway, it's a system to where all the ships and aircraft and everything can talk to each other, right?
Of course, we
share a real time picture of what the battlefield is or what the area is.
Gotcha.
And so, when I was doing my my hands-on, I guess, after the school, that I was not shipborne. I was land-based. And so these items are looking at different things. And so, you know, an aircraft, when you're using radar on it, you can get a course and speed and altitude. These other systems, they work on a lot of different things. They're a interdisciplinary kind of, view of what's going on.
Yeah, I kind of understand what you're talking about. I mean, I know they've got some pretty high-tech stuff. I know they don't talk about it a lot, but I know that they've got systems that can not only detect craft on radar in conjunction with other types of technology, they can put it together with databases and find and see exactly what kind of aircraft it is if it's in there and know what it is that they're looking at, get all kinds of tactical updates. I know that. So, you know, it's amazing what they must have.
The stuff
it's amazing, it's amazing that we have to keep breaking every so often to take care of pieces of business. I don't want to have a fancy segue. I'll just say we have Greg Lawson, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Greg.
Yes, sir.
We're pinning you down everything you're doing here, so we'll let us continue.
Okay.
Yeah, so you were just telling us about these returns or the information that you were seeing. So what were you seeing exactly?
So, well, I don't know what I was seeing. That on the scopes that we use, it's a three-dimensional scope. So you can actually see a depth in the scope. And what typically does, you have an area that you're looking at, and when a contact comes into that area, then you capture that contact via video. You go and identify that contact using a track number, and that track number is assigned. And then they will look at it to try to figure out what it is. And in most aircraft, we're going to know what it is pretty quickly, because all these aircraft are going to have, let's say it's flying 550 knots and it's in a air corridor at 40,000 feet, in a particular area. Well, that's going to be a passenger jet. So you're going to know that pretty quick. And if it's sending out any kind of signal, if it's squawking any signal, then you're going to know what frequency that is, and you're going to be able to pick out what aircraft that is, where it originated from, and that sort of thing. So things that are outside the air corridors are a little bit harder, but let's say military aircraft that are flying, they will be running radar, and that radar will have a signature, and you'll know what type of radar is attached to what plane. So you can identify individual planes and you know where they originated and that sort of thing. So the mantra of operations specialists in the Navy is, if it moves, we track it. So that's what was going on when I was in 94. Now, that's a long time ago. And you can just imagine how much more advanced their systems are now. And I can assure you, if a commercial airliner takes off anywhere in the world, wherever it goes, they know where it is. In the ocean, they know where it is.
Oh, yeah. That's why
if somebody intercepts it, takes it someplace else, they know where it is.
I'm thinking, so why is it that we don't know where the missing airliner that crashed out in the middle of the ocean, what was it, back in 2016 now or 17? Yeah. You got to think, somebody must know where that thing is.
Well, and there's good reasons not to say it. I think if there was a moral reason, if somebody was alive or could be alive, they may compromise their position. And if there's any kind of secrets to know, they might compromise that to save lives. If there's no lives to save, they're not going to tell the world, hey, we're tracking everybody all the time, everywhere. We know exactly where everything is. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, I guess because then by doing that, they would give away some of their capabilities that would rather maybe people didn't exactly know about. That makes perfect sense. So, now, yeah, we had a situation. One of them was, there was a UFO over the Northwest, actually. And I shouldn't say UFO, but an unidentified target, that was seen on radar, and a craft of some type that was seen actually by pilots as well over Oregon. And I think this was November 2017. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Did you run across that one? Oh, it was pretty interesting. They ended up scrambling, I think it was some F-15s, to try and track it down. And they would go up and the thing would just disappear. And it was sort of reminiscent of this sort of 1952 DC case where they'd send up aircraft and then the thing would go away and the aircraft would come down and it would reappear again. So these things still do happen out there. But let's return to what it was that you were seeing on these screens. How did these objects or contacts, returns, whatever you want to call them, behave?
Well, because of my level of, my security level, I wasn't privy to what the intelligence and analysts would decide what it is. I would identify it. I would, pick out these parameters. Wow, this is weird. It's changing course. It's changing speed. And it could be following a coastline, let's say down the coast of California very quickly. And it could have been a complete anomaly. But typically anomalies don't perform that way. And whoever the tracking supervisor would be, whenever we would have any kind of anomalous contact like that, we would assign a track number to it. And then they would come over to our system and then reassign that track number to whoever else. And that would disappear off my screen and I wouldn't see it anymore.
Oh,
so
that's really
interesting. It went to a higher level of person than I was, enlisted E5 at the time. And so, I'm just kind of the guy out in the field kicking the hay around and compared to what's really going on behind the curtain there.
But, wow. That's really interesting. Thanks for, allowing us to dig into that a little bit. Not long ago, we had another person who had worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency, Irina Scott, who worked in photography and said that she saw photographs of these craft taken by satellites. And, she said, well, they looked like metallic craft to me. And she was a photographic analyst. And then someone would come to her and say, oh, well, it's just a glitch in the system. And then it would just sort of disappear. And so,
yeah, that's typically how it's handled right there. You know, that the track supervisor doesn't make eye contact with you and doesn't speak with you for 2 days. And all of a sudden you have an anomalous contact and he's over there rubbing your shoulders going, so how you doing? Where are you from? You liking your, you like your cross training? What's, you like this? Okay. All right. Bye. And then it's gone and it walks away and that's it.
That's pretty fascinating stuff because, we out here in the civilian world, we know that's got to be going on. But to actually hear someone from the inside describe that situation happening is really some excellent content. And
I just remembered the other system I worked on. This isn't real super secret stuff. The NTCSA, the Naval Tactical Command Systems afloat. That was a system that I primarily worked on. And you had surface and air that you could work with as far as radar and other types of detection devices using those. But that's primarily within the atmosphere that is. The other stuff is just a different – it's kind of doing the same thing. They're just using different means to accomplish it.
So what do you think of this whole advanced aerospace threat identification program thing then? Because, now their Navy is saying, well, we're getting new UFO reporting, or UAP is now seems to be the buzzword. We're still talking UFOs, some kind of alien craft, whatever it happens to be. What do you think of that whole thing then? Because all along, it sounds to me like they have been tracking these, but we just didn't know a lot about it. And this program came along and because it got exposed, now we're hearing about it more, but it's not as if they weren't doing it anyway.
Yeah, I assure you they are tracking everything. And everything has a number and it can be sequenced and then, you know, you can be researched. Where they're keeping this stuff, I don't know. You know, there's a depending on the storage capability of all this stuff. But one day, you know, 50 years from now or something like that, hopefully there will be people like you and I that will be digging off into that and some of this stuff get declassed then. And maybe we'll get a little bit closer. I think it's fascinating and I think it's brave for the Navy to step up and say this. You know, the best thing you could do in law enforcement or if you're a business owner that is in some sketchy stuff or, you know, when the news comes by, don't talk to them. Don't say hello. Don't go, just go in and out. It'll give it 15, 20 days. It'll all go away and it'll be fine. The moment you open your mouth and give one answer, there's going to be 50 other questions by these reporters and people like you and I. So for the Navy to go, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and talk about this a little bit. Is incredibly brave because they opened a huge can of worms for everybody, you know, on the security side and on the civilian side. So.
Absolutely. I mean, pilots like David Fravor, if you watch some of his interviews, and he was the flight commander for his squadron off the aircraft carrier, I guess, he seems so credible. I mean, those people are so highly trained. They're screened for intelligence and psychological profiles and all the rest. For a person like that to get a contingent of other pilots up to make enough noise within the Navy for them to take it seriously enough to initiate some responsible, without all of the cynicism and the discreditation that used to go on with reporting UFOs, I think it is brave. I think it's absolutely fantastic that those pilots have stepped up and done that.
We've got more to come with Greg, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.